Good to see another house full. We're grateful for your presence, for those who've come near and far. Such a blessing to have people who want to study the Word of God together. Turn in your New Testaments to Acts the 17th chapter. This is going to be our text for this evening. And while you are turning there, we're going to be studying about a man that we first hear about in Acts chapter 9. About a man named Saul, who's later better known to us as Paul the Apostle. And so we learn about his obedience to the gospel, that he was not saved on the road to Damascus, as most of the world teaches and believes. Remember in that chapter when the Lord spoke to him, Paul said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me do?" Jesus said, "Go into the city, and there it will be told thee what thou must do." And that is to do to be saved. In 22 and verse 16 of this same book, Paul tells the story that when the preacher came to him, Ananias, and by the way, Ananias didn't exactly want to go to him, did he? He was afraid of him, as you and I would have been, of this terrorist. Saul was a terrorist. He was a murderer of Christians. And I would have said, "Lord, are we talking about the same guy? You want me to go there to talk to him when he's after me to kill me?" And that's what he was heading to Damascus for, wasn't it? But when he got there, he fasted and prayed for 3 days. If he was saved, he was the most miserable saved man you ever saw, wasn't he? And Ananias, when he came to him, said, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins." A few years ago, we debated a denominational preacher, and we had this scripture, Acts 22 and verse 16, on the chart that everybody could see. And he made the comment as he read it. He said, "There's not a drop of water in that passage." He believed that you were saved before you were baptized. "He that believeth is saved and then should be baptized." That's how he would write Mark 16. Is that what that verse says? That verse says, and Jesus is the one that said it, and if anybody knows, he should know, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." I ask the man what he, in verse 16, will be saved. He that what? He that believes only is saved? No. He that believeth and, or did Jesus get it wrong? One is just as important as the other. One fellow said, "Well, you don't believe the last part of that verse. He that believeth not shall be damned." Oh, yes, I do. The unbeliever will be damned. Why? Because he will refuse to be baptized. Then there are those who say, "Oh, yes, I was baptized." But what for? Saul was told by a preacher that God sent to arise and be baptized and what? Wash away thy sins. Baptism in that watery grave. Somebody asked me, "Mo, do you baptize a Christian or a sinner?" You know which it is, don't you? When I was baptized, I was a sinner. Yes, sir. The Lord says you are dead in your sins. That's why the new birth. I must be born again. John chapter 3. Jesus told Nicodemus two times, "You must be born again. Except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom." The Spirit's part is what we're reading here. The water is where we're baptized into Him. Before I'm baptized into Christ, I am a dead sinner. Romans 6, 3 and 4 tells us that after our baptism, we will arise to walk in what? Newness of life. We are new creatures in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. We are a new creation, new creatures, not before, not until we are baptized and arise out of that grave. Did you know that if I am saved before I am baptized? You see, I am in sin before I am baptized, aren't I? And that makes me dead in my sin. Okay? Well, if I'm saved at the point that I believed, then we bury the living. You see that? But before I what the Bible teaches is that I'm dead in my sins, and we bury that old man of sin. And like Jesus, again, Romans 6, 3 and 4, He arose to walk in newness of life. Therefore, we are buried with Him. Are we saved by His blood? Yes. Without the shedding of His blood, there is no salvation. It's too easy to be understood. You have to have some false teacher tell you, oh no, I was saved before I was baptized, then I got baptized. Well, you're burying the living. Isn't that easy to see? And a birth, a new birth, just like a baby, a child, it is a coming out of. And so we bury the old man, that dead man in his sins, and then he arises to walk in newness of life. Thus, Ananias told Saul to arise, get up, and be baptized, and wash away thy sins. Is that over your head? You know why we can't get people to debate us? Would you want to get up here and try to tell this audience right now that you don't have to be baptized to be saved? And by the way, we haven't touched the hem of the garment, have we, on passages that tell us that. Over and over and over again, it is too simple. Well, one fellow said, if baptism were so important, it'd be on every page. No, the Lord only has to tell us something once, doesn't it, for it to be important. That's all. But over and over, the Lord tells us, as Jesus said in Mark 16, as Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of or by the authority of Jesus Christ. Who gave Peter the authority to say that? Jesus did. Read Luke chapter 10, verse 40. Matthew chapter 10, about verse 16. He that heareth you, heareth me. He that rejecteth you, rejecteth me. When I reject what Peter says, then I reject what the Lord said. Isn't that simple? See? And that when I was growing up, young fellas, that's what made me think that I could preach this. Because it wasn't over my head. I'm not a rocket scientist, but I can understand this. And if I can understand this, you can understand this. So when Paul said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And what our denominational friends would say, do, you don't have to do anything. They say if you have to do something, then that removes the grace of God. Let's suppose, folks, that I had a check for $10 million for each one of you in this audience tonight. Say my name was Donald Trump. You'd say, well, boy, you could do it if you're Donald Trump. More hopefully, and not likely. But say I'm Donald Trump, and I just told you, but I've got conditions for you that you're going to have to do these four or five things, and then you can receive this check. And one of them is you're going to have to walk around this building seven times. Would you say, I ain't going to do that? No, there'd be a race, wouldn't there? And I know some of you guys can outrun me for sure. Sure. For 10 million, you wouldn't argue about it. You wouldn't say, well, that removes your grace. No, sir. It's still by my grace that I give you that $10 million. Whatever I ask you to do, if it is humanly possible, you'd do it. Or make an attempt. Wouldn't you? One of them could be to come up here and say, I love you, Mo. I ain't going to do that, somebody might say. No, for $10 million, we'd do a lot of things, wouldn't we? And one denominational preacher said for $100, you know, he'd arise and be baptized and wash away his sin. And the answer to him was, you'd do it for $100, but you wouldn't do it for the salvation of your soul. What's wrong with this picture? See? So this great apostle that we now know about wasn't so great at the start, but when he took off running, didn't he? Right in Acts chapter 9, he had people after his hide. They wanted to kill him in his missionary journeys over and over. And what we read in what he wrote to Timothy over and over, 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with about verse 10 of his persecutions, his afflictions, his trials, and he said, out of them all, verse 12, the Lord delivered me. And he'll deliver us too, It's the same Lord, just as we talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego last night. Well, we hear about Saul in Acts chapter 9, then we have to come over to about chapter 13 before we hear of he and Barnabas again on their journeys. And we just, you can just keep on reading and reading. In Acts chapter 16, we learn of Timothy, young Timothy. Then we learn of the conversion of Lydia, the seller of purple, about verses 14 and 15, only two verses that deal with her, basically. Then we read of the conversion of the Philippian jailer. What was Paul and Silas doing at midnight? Chained in a dark, dungy, not air-conditioned prison. No, they were singing praises at midnight, and the gates to that prison opened. And the jailer, whose life was on the line, was about to kill himself, because if the gates open to your prison, the prisoners are gone. And he called for a light. He sprang in. Paul said, "See, thou doest thyself no harm, for we are all here." If you were the jailer, you're about to die. You're about to cut your own throat, because tomorrow the government's going to kill you if you don't. Your prisoners escape, you die. And it would be a public humiliation. You, your family. And so how glad was he when he heard the voice of Paul? "Don't kill yourself. We're all here." "What?" And I'd call for a light too, wouldn't you? Are you really? And they were. He washed his stripes. Paul and Silas were beaten, put in prison, yet still singing praises to God. I wonder if I'd done that. Or would I have been having a pity party for Mo? More than likely. Strong of character, loved the Lord, and we know of the conversion of the eunuch, or of the jailer here. And there's more we could say about that. Well, in verse 31, the jailer said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And people say, "See? It just says believe. No baptism mentioned. Just believe." Well, first of all, that's the first thing you have to do, isn't it? I'm not going to baptize somebody that doesn't believe. That's why Jesus said, "He that believeth, number one, and is baptized shall be saved." If you wanted to know how to get to my house, would I say, "Well, turn off Route 2 onto Whisperwood Estates, and then go about a block and a half, and there you'll be at our house"? No, you're going to have to be more explicit than that. You're going to have to start right here with me at the front door and tell me left, right, which way to go. And that's what Paul did. Told him the very first step he had to take. Believe on the Lord. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, what will you do? You will do anything he says. Luke 6:46. "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that," what? "Doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Jesus goes on in verse 24 to tell us of the wise man who built his house on a what? On a rock. And the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The wise man is the one that heard and did. The foolish man was the one that heard, but did not do. That's the fool. We don't want to be him. So, verse 32, it says, "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God." When did he rejoice? Before his baptism? After his baptism. Just like the eunuch in Acts 8, who went in verse 40, who went on his way rejoicing. When? After his baptism. See, folks, isn't that easy? Can't we preach that to people? Well, Brother Hafley, they may not accept it. And that's true. They didn't accept Jesus either, did they? Remember John chapter 6, when he asked the apostles, "Will you also go away?" Remember what Peter said? "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." You want to go away from this book? You want to go to the Book of Mormon? You want to go to the Catechism? You want to go to Jehovah's Witness doctrine and teaching? No, you don't. We want to listen to what the Lord has to say. Well, Paul was in Philippi. Now we jump quickly to chapter 17. See what happens. And I want you to know that when you're a teacher of the Word of God, you're going to make enemies. Young people, everybody's not going to believe the Bible. Mark it down. But when you find somebody that does, those are the people that you want. Okay? It says, now when they, Paul and Silas, had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And I often wondered, Paul, why didn't you stop at Amphipolis and Apollonia? This verse answers that. In Thessalonica, there was a synagogue of the Jews. In the other two cities, there were none. Paul was going where the Jews were to teach them. And folks, that's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to go where they are. We've been able to go to denominational, what they call revivals. And sometimes we're able to talk to people there. And sometimes we do some good. Sometimes not. But that's what Paul did. He went where they were. Did he know they weren't going to agree with him? Did he know that they did not believe Jesus was the Messiah? Is that what he was going to preach? Paul, why don't you preach on the home? Let's see what he did. Well, by the way, and when he left Amphipolis or Philippi, that was 33 miles from Philippi to Amphipolis. From Amphipolis to Apollonia, another 37 miles. And from Amphipolis to Thessalonica was another 30-some miles. Walking, preaching, would you do that? Can you think of a place that's 30 miles away and you're going to walk there and preach it? Drive maybe, but walk? All right. What did he preach, verse 3? Opening and alleging, the King James Version says, that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Opening and alleging means to prove and explain, and that's something that we as preachers must do. Prove and explain. Not somebody ask you a Bible question, well, we've always done it this way. Is that how we answer it? No, we take our index finger and we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, Ephesians 6 and verse 17, and say, here is why we do what we do. Here is why we sing. Here is why we don't have instrumental music. Here is why we don't call our preachers reverend. Here is why we partake of the Lord's Supper upon every first day of the week. Here are the qualifications for the elders. We do not have a pope. We do not have a head on earth, do we? Our headquarters in heaven. So people say, where's your headquarters? And the headquarters means, where does the head quarter? Where does the head live? The head of the church, of which there is just one church, Ephesians 4 says there is one Spirit and one body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God. There's as many faiths as there are gods. As many churches as there are gods. That's easy to see, isn't it? And so Paul proves and explains that Christ, and that word Christ means Messiah. To the Jews, he was saying, proving and explaining that the Messiah, verse 3, must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. And the Jews said, no, not our Messiah. Our Messiah is going to be like Saul and David. He's going to rule over these Romans who now have us under their thumb. And we don't like that. And when our Messiah comes, they're going to be under our thumb. That's what they wanted. But Paul says, no, no, no. Read Isaiah 53. Is this Savior going to be a suffering Savior? Shake your head this way. Yes, one of the places. Psalm 22. And on we could go. That's what the Old Testament prophets preached, that this Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead the third day. And he said, this is the Jesus that I preach unto you, who is the Messiah. Verse 4. And some of them believed. Notice not all, some. They believed and consorted, stayed with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, of the chief women not a few. And when the Bible says not a few, it means a whole bunch. Okay? So he's having success. He's gone into a place that he's never been before, and he's preached to people he's never preached to before, but when verse 3 says he proved and he explained, the honest and good heart said, you know what? That's exactly what the Old Testament says. That's what the prophet said. He took their own scriptures and showed it to them. Some people say, well, that's just your interpretation. You read Mark 16 and that verse 16, and they say, well, that's just how you interpret it. Well, tell me how I can interpret it another way. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall. Interpret that another way. It can't be done and be truthful. Some of them believe. A great multitude, he said, and of women, not a few. Uh-oh. When you have success, you're going to make enemies. Verse 5. What's it begin with? The first word. But. Oh, bad news follows this. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. That is Paul and Silas. Bring them out to kill them. They were embarrassed. They were ashamed. They could not answer. And that's what happens to people. When they cannot answer Scripture, they get angry. They threaten. They're going to threaten you. And then when you do not stop, as the apostles didn't in Acts 3 and 4, they're going to put you in jail if they can. And if they can't do that, they'll try to kill you. Would it do the church any harm if the preacher were to die, if Joe were to die for preaching the gospel? Would you all close up shop and say, oh, well, we quit? No, sir. The more the enemies, even Saul, in Acts chapter 8, when he assaulted the church and was killing Christians and hailing men and women, taking them off to prison, what's verse 4 say? They went, of Acts 8, they went everywhere, what? Preaching the word. The more the enemy tried to stomp out the truth and the gospel, the greater it spread. Would it happen today? It sure would. It sure would. We got to go. We got to do what they did. And we'll grow like they grew. And we'll make enemies. Know that. You just know that. But now we're so politically correct, well, we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. We don't want to tell them like it is. One of the members of the church, we had a radio program, and one of the members said, Mo, could you preach more on the home and Proverbs or something? So, said, I work with some of these people that listen to your 5-minute radio program every morning, and they don't like it. Well, bless your heart. They didn't like what Jesus said, did they? They didn't like what Paul said. They didn't like what Peter said. Most of the apostles died, put to death. John was alienated on the Isle of Cyprus, wasn't he? The Jews, and notice how they will act. They moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd, not good fellows, but lewd fellows of the baser sort. What kind of people are they working with? You see what the enemy will do, what they have to do? How many kinds of soil did Jesus say there were in Luke chapter 8? 4 kinds. How many good? Only 1 kind of soil. You're going to run into all kinds. These are the wayside soil. They didn't believe, they didn't want the truth. Not because it wasn't the truth. Verse 6. And when they found them not, Paul and Silas, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. That was meant to be a cut. That was a slam. They're turning the world upside down. And now they're here. Let me say, are we turning the world upside down? And how many of them did it take to be called world turners? 2. Paul and Silas. They were turning the world upside down. And now they said, they're here. How are we doing? You know, we need to step up to the lick log, don't we, and admit we need to work harder. We need to be braver. We need to put on the whole armor of God and let them know we are not afraid and we are not going to quit. If you don't like the truth, I can't. What did Andy Griffith say? I refer to him a lot. I can't help it. I can't help it if you don't like it. Well, we're talking about today, rescuing somebody from a burning house. If they want to stay in there, we've done our duty. We've tried. And we may need to shake the dust off of our feet and go on. If somebody doesn't want the truth, but don't become their judge, jury, and executioner. They couldn't find Paul and Silas, so they took Jason and others before the council, and they troubled the city, verse 8, and the rulers of the city, when they heard these things, and when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. They made them pay a bond. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, another 60-mile hike, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Whoa, I'm thinking, if I'm Silas, I might be saying, whoa, now, look where we just came from. Thessalonica, and they run us out. We had to leave by night, sneak out, and Paul, where are you taking me? Whoa! You're going right back into that synagogue. But we don't hear that about Silas, do we? They both marched right in there like they had good sense. And they did. Why were they going? Did they not know they were going to make enemies? People, yes, they knew that. Careful about being politically correct. See? If we had a miracle drug, we mentioned earlier, or last week, if we had a miracle drug that cured cancer, would you keep it to yourself? Well, I don't want to upset people. You couldn't wait to get it to them. If they rejected it, again, you can't help it. So they went to the synagogue in Berea. What are they going to find there? Did they know? Who coming thither, the middle of verse 10, went into the synagogue of the Jews? These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And I'm saying, yes! Silas, isn't this great? Anytime you get somebody who will search the Scriptures, they may not agree with you right away. So many times we have aggravated people and they'll say, well, I'm going to go talk to my pastor. Go, please, let them go. Don't try to convert them the same night, okay? Sometimes they will. Sometimes they will say, that's the truth. That's what I've been looking for. One young man, after we talked to his Baptist preacher in the building, classroom of the church building, started at 7 o'clock one night on a Thursday night. At 7:20, Pastor Bill, I think it was anyway, whatever, he stood up and he said, Mr. Hapley, you're not answering my questions. He zipped up his Bible and buttoned his coat. And Steve, the young boy that had been going to his church for a couple of years, said, no, Pastor, it is you that's not answering Mr. Hapley's question. 20 minutes. The man's seat got hot and he had to leave. Steve and I walked out of the classroom into the auditorium and we talked for a few minutes and he said, Mo, why can't I be baptized? What would you tell him? Just like the eunuch was told in Acts 8. You believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Oh, did he ever? They both went down to the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized. He didn't sprinkle him, did he? He buried him, didn't he? And that's when the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. See? You get people who will search the Scriptures. Steve and I had been riding back and forth, he'd listen to the radio program that I was told to, you know, to calm down and preach on the home. This 17-year-old high school senior saw the truth. And when he kept answering my questions with more questions, I knew we had something. Did we give up on him? Say, well, he's Baptist, he won't come. No, sir. Just like these folks. In that they receive the word with all readiness of mind and search the scriptures monthly. Nope, not what it says, is it? Daily. That means Paul and Silas were talking to them daily. Whether those things were so. They're going to investigate. And because of verse 11, look how verse 12 begins. Therefore. You never begin a conversation. You never walk up to somebody and say, therefore, and they're going to say, I must have been asleep. I missed part of it. No. Because of what was said in verse 11, therefore many of them believe. When you get people who are honest-hearted, search the Scriptures to see whether what the things you're saying are so, then many of them will believe. Also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few, just like verse 4. Okay, well, how does verse 13 begin? Just like verse 5 did. But, negative. But when the Jews of Thessalonica, how far away? 60 miles. When the Jews of Thessalonica heard, had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. Did they make any enemies in Thessalonica? So much so, they're not going to let it happen in Berea. They marched their little self down to Thessalonica and stirred up. How did they stir up the people? With the truth? No, with error. That's right. And then immediately, the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. You know why they came? They were going to kill this guy that was turning the world upside down. My brother, several years ago now, was in a public debate with a Pentecostal preacher, a fellow by the name of Happy Jack Gideon. Before the debate was over, Mr. Happy Jack wasn't happy. Near the end of the debate, he said, Mr. Hafley, within 60 days, something real bad is going to happen to you. That was a threat. That was a threat. Something real bad. And my brother said, what if something happens to me? What if something bad happens to me? He said, he told him, Mr. Gideon, it won't help your cause to run me over in a car or something. Or somebody should, it won't help me. It won't help your cause. Mm-mm. My brother had a daily radio program Monday through Saturday, 15 minutes, and every day from that time on, he did a countdown. 59, 58. I was there on 18, 17, 16, 15. And he's still alive today. But the threat was made to cause fear, to cause him to stop. Now, would we do that? Happy Jack, something real bad is going to happen to you. No, we don't do that. We approach people with the truth and let them judge. We're not acting like these people. So they sent away Paul. McGarvey, I think, says in his commentary, when it says, as it were, to the sea, that maybe it was to fake the people out, as it were, as if he were going by sea. And by the way, when they kissed him goodbye, they didn't leave him alone. He had bodyguards to go with him. Verse 15, and they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, 200 miles away. And receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus, or Timothy, for to come to him with all speed, they departed. As soon as you get back home, tell Paul and Silas to come be with me. Verse 16 says, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, he got him a room at the Holiday Inn, and is that what happened? Mm-mm. While Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Now he's got a whole other teaching mode. Not Jews, but Gentiles. Idolatrous Gentiles. Do idol worshipers believe in what they believe in? They sure do. So much so that they would cut themselves, that blood would gush out. And that was one of the signs of how much they loved their God. They were showing their God. They'd have scars across their chest and their arms. And his heart was stirred. When we see all these denominational buildings, is our heart stirred in us? Would Paul's heart been stirred in him when he saw all these church buildings, denominations? I think so. What's verse 17 begin with? Same word that verse 12 begins with. Therefore, because he saw what he saw and his heart was stirred within him, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. Was he bold or what? Do you like to follow Paul around for a few days? Good. Good, Patrick. That's the answer. Bravery 101, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. Sure would be. Anybody who would rub shoulders with Paul, he's going to talk to them with the Jews and with the devout persons in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics, these were on the opposite of pendulum swings. The Epicureans were the playboy philosophy. Fun and games. Eat, drink, and be merry. Okay? And the Stoics were just, we have the word Stoic. Well, he's very Stoic. He's, you know, he doesn't change his moods or anything. And there's a whole explanation for that. And they encountered him. And some said, what will this babbler say? Somebody say, well, what are you going to babble about tonight, Brother Hapley? Is that a compliment? Been babbling all week. Well, thank you. No. What will this babbler say? Commentators say that word babbler comes from a barnyard bird.